There's certain people for whom I will do anything.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we help you navigate the holidays. It can be a tough time for atheists, whether you're out or not, and we have lots of suggestions.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am your host, Molly Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Tim Wick.
Oh, come all ye faithful.
And Nick Glover.
Oh, I'm coming faithfully.
You only come faithfully, baby. High five.
Not a bummer episode.
It's not.
I should have picked a different song.
And hi, guys. So today we are here to talk about what it's like to be a lonely atheist at Christmas.
A lonely atheist at Christmas.
And so it's the holiday season. Let's be real. It's the Christmas and Hanukkah season. Yeah, that's what's going on. And
so solstice.
Solstice too. Yeah. So for a lot of you, you may have a lot of traditions that you. That you used to do. Maybe you're a brand new atheist. Maybe you've been an atheist for 20 odd years. Maybe you've always been an atheist and you've just seen these things in the distance. What we're going to talk about is the nostalgia that surrounds the religious traditions of the holidays and how we feel about it and how it can be often used by family members to manipulate you and just kind of like ways to combat it, what we actually miss, and just kind of the whole thing.
Yeah.
So to start us off, I would like to just let's start on the positive.
Yeah.
What is a fond memory? And I'm going to say let's keep these to religious traditions, not the secular traditions. No opening gifts, Santa Claus, hot chocolate, meals. That's all shit we all still do. Right? We all still do that stuff. So I'm talking about the things you don't do anymore as an atheist.
Religious.
The religious traditions that you may have done before at Christmas, solstice, or I don't think any of us ever celebrate any Jewish traditions, did we?
No.
So for all of our Jews turned atheists out there, you know, by all means, let us know.
Let us know.
Yeah, we'd love to hear it.
An ex-Jewish atheist podcast.
Yeah.
We're sorry.
All right. So, Tim.
Yeah, hi.
So what's a religious tradition that you miss? Is there...
And that's a tough question. But I think, as much as I hated church, the Christmas Mass was the one that was the least boring.
Christmas Eve or Christmas Day?
It was Christmas Eve.
The Midnight Mass or whatever?
No, not Midnight Mass. We'll get to that later.
But, okay.
The Christmas Eve Mass, there was, you know, it was like you would sing Christmas songs, and I liked Christmas songs.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's weird because I'm in a band and I'm one of the lead singers in the band, but I was very uncomfortable about singing in front of people, not in a group, for a very long time.
Sure.
I was like, people would be like, oh, Tim, you have a really nice voice. And that just made me not want to sing.
Interesting.
For whatever reason, it just made me want to do that. So we would go to Midnight Mass, and I'd know all these songs, and I could sing them, and nobody would notice, really, that I was doing anything different than anybody else.
Right.
And I would make up harmonies for the songs, and I found out I was pretty good at making up harmonies for songs, and people would, and, you know, my parents would be like, oh, those harmonies you came up with for those songs, Tim, they were pretty good. You're a pretty good singer. And then I wouldn't want to sing anymore. But anyway,
sure.
But it's that whatever. We're dealing with my psychological issues going up right now. And that was not my parents' fault. But the point is that... The point is that mass was, I mean, it was more people than any time.
Of course.
You'd see friends that you knew through church that you never saw any time except that they'd show up for Christmas and Easter mass.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the religious tradition for me that I think sticks as something that I miss a little bit.
Was it the going? The people, the actual mass itself? Was it just the kind of, I don't want to use the word hysteria, but that sense of like... communion, that group think that makes it feel...
It was the
fervor.
It was all of that, but more the Christmas mass of all the masses that I've been to at any church, like when we went to that mega church for that one fucking thing. And of every religious thing that I've been to, it is the most joyous and positive.
Sure. I get that.
Because Because even Easter starts out with the fact that Jesus is dead.
Easter is dire.
And by the end of the Easter Mass, it's all joyous and happy.
I guess.
But Christmas is just happy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. You know, okay.
And it's like the lights in the church were turned up brighter
than
they
ever were.
That's
true. The decorations are always so great.
And, yeah, there was something about that that was the one Mass of the year that I didn't dread going to.
Okay. Nick, what about you? You were raised Unitarian, mostly.
I mean, like from teenage
Lutheran,
yeah. Lutheran prior to that. And
Unilutheran.
And my family on my mom's side is all Lutheran. So anytime we went to family holiday stuff, it was all, mm-hmm. I mean, the patriarch of the family is a Lutheran minister. Lots of Lutheran religious folks in the family. I honestly, I'm really can't think of anything that is uniquely religious tradition that we don't do now secularly. That is something I miss.
Are there songs that you liked? You're not. You know, I know
really
you don't really sing, but
I'm such a Scrooge about Christmas music. There's nothing that I'm really like. We've had this discussion before about Christmas songs, and I don't really like any of them particularly. There are some that I'm like more tolerant of, mm-hmm. or I'm like, yeah, that one's kind of catchy, I mm-hmm. guess, but not like.
Yeah.
I'm never like, yeah, I can't wait to hear that Christmas music. No,
yeah.
No.
I'm in a, it's basically nothing really.
And I didn't like to sing in choir. And
yeah.
I mean, and like the closest thing I can think of is my grandfather would do he would like read and do sermons.
Do the
like
service.
That. We would go to see Christmas service at the Lutheran church that presided over.
Christmas Eve night or Christmas Day? I find this is very interesting. This is something that matters to me for kids, I think. Okay. Yeah.
But it was cool to see my grandpa up there doing his thing.
Sure.
But I hated it. It was boring. And every minute of it was fucking agony.
But that counts. Yeah. Getting to see your grandpa do the thing and it being your grandpa up there.
Yeah. Because it's him in his element. It's him in the thing that he's done longer than anything else he's done in his life.
Did it make you feel a little bit proud, too, to be like, look around at all the people and be like, that's my grandpa. They all came here to see my grandpa.
Because it was a church full of strangers.
Sure.
And it wasn't like our town. It was out in the sticks a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it was like, yeah, all these fucking strangers like my grandpa, too. That's cool, I guess. Whatever. It didn't really have any effect on me.
Yeah.
I hate to be like, to humbug the question.
That's all right.
But
we're atheists. It's okay to humbug this question.
There's a lot that I'm pretty humbug about when it comes to Christmas.
Religious stuff for sure. Even more. Yeah.
Right. Specifically more so the religious stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, for me, it's so stupid, but it's the manger scene. The nativity scene. Right. I miss having a little nativity scene with toy animals and a little toy baby Jesus and the thing. I loved the story of the manger and the birth and the frankincense and myrrh. I loved the nativity. I loved all that stuff. So like, I loved having a manger scene, especially, it's surprising no one because little sheeps, you know, and getting to like play with little animals and just thinking of like, I like to think about like the crazy extreme of having to give birth to your baby in a barn. Oh my God. It just, and everything about it seems cool. And so like, to me, that was something that was always like, we had a little Fisher Price manger scene when the kids were young and stuff. And so like, that's something that like, when I see them in people's yards now, my reaction is always like, oh God, cause it's just such an outward display of religion. But the thing itself, I don't like, I liked the idea. I don't know.
I love a super nerdy major scene with like Jack from The Incredibles in the manger.
Sure. And, yeah.
Right away, my mind thought of from the original Dragon Ball series, Goku's arrival on Earth and him being found by the old hermit and you could easily have like dinosaurs instead of animals.
Yeah,
The baby Kal-El in the manger.
Sure.
Yeah.
And there's
the tents finding the crash. Yep. Yeah.
And I've thought about that. There's a lot of ways that I could make it. But the thing is, to me, ultimately, that's still religious.
Yeah.
Right.
And so that's just me still doing this religious thing. And I believe very strongly, Nick is more about humbug about Christmas than I am in the sense that I believe very strongly in the magic of Christmas time and the spirit of Christmas Christmas Carol style, right? Like, that's the way I see it. Like, it's a time when hearts are opened and people can change and, like, there's just joy everywhere. But so that to me is the thing that for Christmas. So anything else that's Jesus is to me is has been pasted on. And so I don't like that. So I had to get rid of that. But that's really the only thing I miss is the having, honest to God, really what I miss is having sheep toys to play with.
I have to say, I think Christmas Jesus is the only Jesus that I've ever really liked.
Because the baby.
Well, but he's like all about hope and peace on earth and goodwill to men. None of which happened. I mean, he failed to deliver on those promises, but at least when he's a baby.
The movie, The Christmas Pageant Story or whatever it is, the book that was a movie about doing the Christmas pageant and that family of kids is in it and they're like... side of the tracks kids, and so no one wants... Oh, wow, okay. It's a good movie. But there's this, you know, just the whole, like, hey, unto you a child is born, kind of a, like, the angel, and I don't know. Anyway.
My favorite Christmas movie now is Kirk Cameron Saves Christmas.
Oh, God, Tim, come on now.
Because of the hip-hop dance.
Yeah, yeah. Amazing. So, okay, so maybe this will be too broad of a question, but what is one religious tradition that it would need to be, like, your mother on her deathbed before you'd go do this again? Like, there's only maybe like a very corner case in which you would ever participate in this again, no matter who asked. Like, I don't know how to put this, but let's say it's a dear friend. It's someone who it's a brother-in-law. It's, you know, like,
you're... What's the last thing you want
to... What's the last thing you'd be willing to bring back into your Christmas that is a religious tradition?
Sitting in church for 4 fucking hours.
Just going to...
It's just...
Yeah.
Easter and Christmas... And again, this is the same exact answer as before. Christmas and Easter, we'd go see my grandpa do his thing and give Easter sermon and Christmas sermon. And it is more boring than carpet shopping with your parents when you're a kid. Like, it is more boring than clothes shopping with your mom at Macy's when you're 5. Like, it is, like, Christmas and Easter service is, like, beat my head against the pew in front of me out of boredom.
Extra long.
I don't know, and I haven't been back since I was a kid. So maybe that's just being
a good
kid.
Point.
But God,
I don't think your kid self is wrong.
I hated church. It was boring as fuck. Although I have to say, when we went to Grace Church, as an atheist, I actually found it a lot more interesting because I was fully engaged in listening to what they were saying.
Yeah. I felt more like Jane Goodall.
Well, you know, but it still interested me more.
Yeah.
I'm not saying going to church every week would interest me more, but if my mom was like, Tim, I'm dying and I want you to go to midnight mass with me, I would go.
Would you pray, take communion?
Well, pray? I mean, would I bow my head? Sure, but it would be a lie. Taking communion...
Would you call in response, say the words...
In
the prayers, would you recite the Nicene Creed? Would you do all that stuff?
I always mouthed it when I was a kid, so I'd probably do that again. Sure. And I would probably go ahead and do communion, even though I'd feel like a liar.
Yeah.
You'd go through the motions, though.
For your mom.
For my mom. When I've been thinking about it, though, it's like, what would I not do for my mom?
Yeah.
If my mom said, I want you to give money to a church, I would not do it.
That's a really good point. You would not, no collection basket for you.
I would not put my own money into a collection basket. And if she was like, I want you to give money to a church after I die, to this church that means a lot to me, I would say put it in your will.
Yeah.
Because then it's you giving your money to that church. Yep. And I'm not going to give my money to that church.
Yeah.
Do you know what, I changed that question a little bit for you, Tim, or dig on that a little bit? So as a performer who routinely asks for tips after a performance, is there a difference between putting on a show as the Dregs or Vilification Tennis and passing the hat afterward and asking for people to pay for what they just experienced?
Absolutely, there is.
What's the difference? Because, or why is it different?
Because I'm not a lie.
You're not promising salvation.
The dregs aren't promising salvation. Yeah. They're telling you you're going to be damned if you don't do it. The dregs aren't asking for money so we can go to Africa and convince people in Africa that they should like the dregs. The dregs are saying, pay us for a song we sang.
If a priest or a preacher or religious whatever was like, when they passed the hat, if they said, we need your financial support to keep doing this, to be here every Sunday for
new stained glass window
service, we're fundraising for something specific.
I still wouldn't do it because I don't think that something is important. But
okay,
you know, it's like if somebody asks me for money, I have the right to I decide whether or not I'm going to give it to them.
No doubt.
As a performer who asks people for money, I think about that very strongly. Did they do something that was worth my financial contribution? Mm-hmm. Because that's what I'm thinking about. Have I done something that's worth the audience's money? I always need to keep that in mind. Church, I don't feel, is worth their money.
Yeah, that's a good point. A good point. For me, I think it would be the saying of the words in the prayers. Obviously, I wouldn't take communion either. I don't think I wouldn't. I mean, I know I wouldn't. But I think even more so, I think a lot of people would say, oh, sure, well, that's reasonable to not want to do communion. But wouldn't you at least say the words, or wouldn't you at least do the standing and the kneeling and the sitting? And I would not do that, because I feel that is anyone asking me to do that for them, I would want to have a long conversation about, why do you want me to go pretend to your God?
Yeah.
Why is that? And I know you would too.
This is a tough question, because I don't believe there's ever a circumstance where my mom would ask me to do something.
Of course not.
Like
of
that.
Course. Right. I only use your mom because she's the person you're closest to who's religious.
I don't believe there's anybody I know who knows me who would ask me to do something like that.
Yeah, I agree with that. I just feel like, to me, that's, and I've actually had this, we've had this come up. Vic's mom's funeral.
Oh, yeah.
Baptism ceremonies for the Niblings and people's weddings or whatever else. I will not. I will not. And I've actually had people, family members say to me, like, can't you just say the word, you know, just pretend, or at least, and it's like, no, I will sit here respectfully with my eyes open and my head unbowed and
wait for you.
I will pay attention. I will be present in the moment. I will look at everything and I will not make a scene, but I'm not going to kneel for your God.
And you should, and you should know that I'm there for you, because you want me there, and because it's important for you, and not because this God stuff is important to me.
Yep.
And don't make that mistake.
Yep. Agreed. All right. So here, let's say. What can we offer, like, newly out atheists, maybe atheists who aren't out, especially who this is a tough time because it's the holidays, and maybe they're still struggling with thoughts, or they haven't come out to their family yet. We've actually had some Five Answers come in from people who are like, don't use my name, I'm not out.
Somebody ask us when we did our public, ask us anything show at Die Laughing this year.
Yeah.
Say, I just have sort of started coming out as an atheist.
Yeah.
I've just reached the point where I'm an atheist, and how do you navigate that?
Yeah, yep. And so holidays can be really tricky, especially this one. And so I think, do we have any advice for ways to approach it? Or let's start, I'll just start with like a more specific question. What is a nice way, or what can someone do when they are asked to go to a Christmas mass? Or Christmas services, if they really don't want to, are there polite ways that we in the past have said no, or ways that to stay back?
I don't want to advocate like dishonesty necessarily, but I feel like the most diplomatic way to get out of those things is to just say you can't make it there for that.
Sure.
I don't know. I kind of feel like if you tell someone, if someone says, hey, come to this thing, and you say, no, I can't, and they say, why not? I feel like that's rude.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But
if it's your family, often doesn't feel like they can be rude. Or maybe you're staying at your mom's house, for Christmas, and everyone's going. So something that I think would work is offer to do something else instead. I'm going to stay home and bake something.
Cookies.
I'm going to stay home and bake cookies. You know what? I'm going to stay home and I'm going to cut out a bunch of snowflakes to decorate.
Yeah.
Do something else so that it's not that you don't want to do something Christmassy, but you don't want to go to church.
No one can accuse you of being a total Grinch when you're baking Christmas cookies and cutting out snowflakes.
Yeah,
that's a good suggestion. And doing something like that.
No one can say, you just want to stay home and be high, Molly Glover. I can be like, oh, I want to be high and cut out snowflakes, thanks.
I think, I don't run into this situation.
Allegedly.
I made that shift to atheism late enough in my life that Pat's family was never a real big mass family, and my mom never really pressured me or my brother after we reached a certain age. But for somebody who is in that circumstance where you feel pressured, I do think honesty of some type is important. I mean, if you're closeted with your family, and I guess my advice is, if you're closeted, if you feel you can't say, I can't go to Mass for whatever reason, if you can't come up with an excuse, I guess the best thing to say is, it's not as long as it feels.
Tim says that a lot. I'm sorry, I'm just going to try to think through the physics of that. Yeah. That's weird.
Nick talks about it being a, you know, 4-hour set Mass. It's a 1-hour Mass. And
sometimes. Depends.
You get through it.
Oh, yeah.
But I am going to say that honesty is going to work better. Saying
in the long run,
saying this is not part of who I am anymore, saying this doesn't make me comfortable. If you have a family that's accepting, I think that's the best choice. And if you don't have a family that's accepting, that's really rough.
It is.
And so coming up with a reason why you need to stay back, if you can come up with a good reason why you need to stay back, is a good fallback plan.
I will say, don't pretend you're sick. Because then everyone's going to be wanting to know why you're not sick later. Yeah. You know, just like there's other things. But if there's not a good reason, I agree with Tim. Just go and then start your plan as to how you're not going to be doing this next year.
You got to find a way to be honest to whatever that is. If that way of being honest is not saying, I'm sorry, I just don't believe in this, and I feel it would be disingenuous for me to go to Mass, then figure out another way to be honest about it.
But, I mean, there are situations. There are situations in which it might be detrimental or hazardous to be honest.
Fair. That's true. Getting kicked out of your house. Yeah.
Why I said figure out another way to be honest.
For sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
I feel like, you can lie or, you know, cheat your way out of it, but it is just going to keep happening.
Yep.
And maybe this holiday isn't the best time to deal with it and to come out as an atheist or whatever, so that you don't have to do this stuff. Maybe like put it on your calendar for something to bring up in June
or at Easter
after Easter. After Easter, you've got so much time before Christmas for them to like deal with them. Cause it's not something you have to figure out and deal with. It's something they have to figure out and deal with. If they're the ones that can't accept you, like this isn't on you. This is on them to figure out.
Maybe you go by halves. I'm going to go, but I'm not going to sing or pray.
I think the biggest challenge with lying is that you got to now support that lie.
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying don't pretend you're sick and don't pretend.
Unless it's a really simple lie. You know, like for years I told people I was allergic to alcohol because it was easier than saying I just fucking hate drink. I hate alcohol.
Yeah.
And you said you were allergic to alcohol and the conversation stopped.
Right.
Nobody talked to you about it anymore. Mm-hmm. And you know, so that was a really easy, small lie that I didn't ever have to explain.
Yeah.
Right.
But the more you have to explain, the more that lie can get chipped away, the riskier it is. So you're always better coming up with some truthful way to get out of it.
Yeah.
Well, and Molly, like you said, I'll go, but I'm not going to sing or pray or kneel or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if your family emphasizes to you that it's really important to them that you go, it's really important to them that you be there, and it's a tradition or whatever, and that's what you offer to them as a meeting halfway, as a compromise. Yep. When you actually go and they see that might make them uncomfortable in a way that makes them not ask next time.
It's true. My family stopped asking me to come because it used to be that we went and saw my Uncle Dave do his sermons and stuff, and they stopped asking me to go not because I was being an asshole about it or anything, but because I was just like, I mean, I'll be there, but I don't want to be there. And everyone, I mean, and my family's very reasonable, and we all stopped being religious after a while too. Yeah. So, that's great. You guys, I think we've given everyone some good holiday tips.
Yeah.
And, just remember, if you are feeling alone, if you are feeling like you are the only person in the whole world that you ever have met that is an atheist, you are not. We are here. There are dozens of us. No,
literally dozens.
There's a lot of us. No,
every single one of us, or most almost every one of us has gone through this awkward, what the fuck do I do with my family at the holidays
thing. And, you know, I highly recommend having a little bit too much to drink and then telling everyone about the pagan origins of the Christmas tree and getting really upset about it. That'll go well.
Yeah.
But really, we all have a really great Christmas Quantica, Razambaga, whatever it is.
Or like, I gotta say, you can explain, use Kirk Cameron's explanation for where the Christmas tree came from, that it came from the cross. And it's a representative of cross and the original Adam or some shit like that.
Yeah, you could really just piss off everyone, make everyone watch Saving Christmas. Oh, I think that would make most Christians angry.
Yeah, that's an everyone loses scenario.
All right.
It's a new holiday tradition.
Well, thank you for listening, and we hope that you have a good, easy holiday season. Remember, it's just another day. You're going to get through it. It's time to move on to five questions.
Great.
We have five answers from Joshua Newport.
Hi, Joshua.
Joshua says he's a relatively new listener, and after missing the previous five questions through inaction, he is going to share his answers to the current five questions. He also included the previous set just for giggles.
Sure.
But we'll see how fast we get through the first.
Yeah.
Okay, Nick, you start out this time.
What conspiracy theory do you find most interesting or compelling?
I think probably alien visitation.
Yay!
Well, I think it is extremely unlikely that intelligent life forms originating on other planets have or ever will visit Earth. It is at least likely that they exist somewhere in the vastness of the universe. And on a purely emotional level, I would be quite pleased if this were true and would hope for a federation in our future.
I wanted the face on Mars to be real so bad.
The face on Mars.
I was so pissed off.
That was a thrilling couple of weeks.
God damn it. All right, question number two. What is your perfect two-week vacation? Money is no factor, but physics is a limiting problem.
A week visiting my in-laws in Germany, sightseeing, enjoying delicious foods in Europe, visiting the castle my wife and I were married in for the second of three weddings, a fun story, but that's for another time, and for the second week, a leisurely cruise home on a nice cruise ship, because a cruise ship is the closest thing to a starship I'm likely to be able to experience in my lifetime.
That's cool.
That's actually a really good argument for cruise ships.
A lot less diarrhea in space.
You think, but
diarrhea
you don't know.
And vomiting. You don't know.
I don't know. That's true. That's true. Question number three. What's a book or movie that changed your life, and how or why?
I'm a librarian, and I can think of libraries full of books and movies that are amazing and wonderful.
Pick a movie.
But none that have, as a single entity, changed my life. I think the best answer to this question is a TV show for me.
Oh.
Reading Rainbow.
That's acceptable.
Hey. Reading Rainbow. I was already a reader when I watched it, but it fanned the flame into a passion. I also have Reading Rainbow's wonderful host, LeVar Burton, to thank for overcoming my vague negative impression of Trekkies, Trekkers, and becoming one myself, which in turn was a gateway to other worlds of geekdom.
Yeah. Nice.
LeVar Burton, gateway drug.
Hey, speaking of geekdom, what's the geekiest thing you've ever done?
I was a computer programmer in the Air Force. The geekiest thing I've ever said was so geeky it stood out as significant in a pretty geeky group and was remembered enough to put it onto a going away gift when I left the military. It was said at an office pizza party. This is the quote, and this he shows us the going away gift they gave him,
damn.
Which is it shows a monkey holding a lightning bolt in a space helmet. It says, Staff Sergeant Josh, the structural integrity of the crust is insufficient to support the weight of the cheese. That's great. That's super great.
That is fantastic. Actually a problem with a lot of pizza.
Yeah.
That's a regular
pizza. That's a really strong critique.
Our final question is what is your favorite hangover cure?
I've never had a hangover, really, but I guess maybe a rope with a loop tied with a bowline, no squeezing in the middle, and a strong friend at the other end to pull me back from whatever I'm hanging over.
Oh.
But seriously, I don't drink much alcohol. I don't have any experience with hangovers.
For that, you don't get the other five questions. That's just
dull.
I will just briefly touch on the fact that his stop and watch movie is The Princess Bride. His geekiest or most prized possession is a chainmail baldric. He thinks that the only supernatural entity he could trust enough is Gandalf, and also believes that one of our biggest tools is humanity's own nature.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep. Yeah,
we'll try it. We could cut and paste those into like the comments on this episode.
Oh, and his favorite sandwich is a muffuletta on a big loaf of Sicilian bread with lots of lovely Italian cheeses, cold cuts, olives, and olive oil, juicy tomatoes, and crispy lettuce. And now I'm hungry.
I've eaten it all today, you motherfucker.
Thank you so much, Joshua. It was really great to get your answers, all of them. Yeah. If you have answers to our five questions, send them to 5questions@geekswithoutgod.com. I mean, you can answer the old ones if you want, but really we're only going to read the new ones. Please, you guys, it's kind of funny. We get regularly over 1,000 downloads every week, but only half or fewer of you have liked our Facebook page.
And like a quarter of you are following us on Twitter.
Yeah, and so on our Facebook page, we actually post a lot of content, and it's not annoying. We're not like one of those pages that does like 8 posts a day. It's usually one a day, if that. So please, think about liking us on Facebook and let us entertain you over there. We do not post that stuff on the website. There's not like cross stuff going on. So that's where the bulk of our content is these days. We'd love to see you there. Thanks so much. Happy holidays, and we'll see you again sometime soon. Bye.
Bye.
I used to put the baby Jesus in my mouth and then see how far I could spin him across the room.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God.
Social media!
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
I was about to ask you, about Jeff and the bike again.